Speaking in our series from John chapter 10, the great need of the world today and their cry is to be led, to know the way to go, to know what to do, to know what to be. And we want to speak this morning on the leadership of the great shepherd, the leadership of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. That's the passage today. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Talking with people who are honest and people who are open, you find again and again the question mark that overshadows their life. Why am I here on earth? What is God's purpose for me? What is the job that I should do? Where am I to go? What am I to be? Whom am I to marry? Where am I to travel? What is my life to become? And again, men and women and young people are seeking guidance. They want to know the way. They might not always want to know God's way, but they do want to know the way. They want to know the way that they should go. They want to know the way that will promise prosperity, the way that will bring success, the way that will bring encouragement, the way that will bring help. Whether they follow it or not, everyone wants to know the right way. And Jesus guides us and leads us in that way. He is the shepherd, and we are His flock. Both from Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, I want us to see this morning the necessity and the blessing of the leadership of the great shepherd. In raising sheep, the greatest problem is pasture. All of the problems are secondary to that. The proper pasture is vital. Sheep will overgraze. Sheep will follow along the same path until it becomes a rut and erosion destroys the land. Sheep will eat the grass until they can paw up the roots and destroy it completely and it becomes barren. This is the nature of sheep that do not have proper guidance to the right pasture. Sometimes pasture must be changed weekly, most of the time each week. Sometimes pasture must be changed daily. As the sheep move in the spring up toward the mountain area to the valleys and up into the hillsides, as the grass turns green, they move toward that. And sometimes sheep must be led daily to various and different areas of pasture. Well, you see the practical significance to your life and mine. For Jesus is the great shepherd of the flock, it says in 1 Peter 5. And we are the sheep of His fold, the sheep of His pasture. And we want to see, as we look at our shepherd, first that the shepherd leads the flock only where he has gone. A shepherd doesn't start out in the morning and call the sheep and they follow him and he just kind of goes around looking. I wonder where I'll go today. Let's see, it looks like there's some good grass over there. No, let's see, that looks like there might be better grass over here. And he kind of puts his hand before his face. He maybe gets out his binoculars and he looks the territory over. Oh no, no shepherd ever does that. While the sheep are in the fold, while the sheep are guarded by someone else, he goes out ahead of time, ahead of the land. He knows the land intimately. He knows it completely. He knows it totally. Every path, he's been down it. Every bit of territory, he's walked over it. There's no surprises for the shepherd. And we need to understand that about the Lord Jesus Christ. The path that he leads you, the place that he wants you to go, the direction that he leads you to go, he's been there ahead of time. You say, is there a verse on that? Yes. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Every path he's been down it, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's been down that path ahead of time. And what a blessing it is to know. He goes before the sheep, looking over the pasture. He sees the problems, the needs, the pitfalls, and then leads the sheep carefully, wonderfully. In John 10:3 it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He sets the pace. He knows just how fast he can take the sheep where they can graze, where they don't become too tired. He knows where the next water hole is. He knows just exactly how long they need to go without the water, when they need the shade, and where the shade is located. The Lord Jesus in your life knows the same thing. For this church, for you as a person, he knows the path that you should take. He knows the way that you should go. He knows how far between the watering holes. He knows how hot the sun is going to be, because he's been over that path, ahead of you, before you. He is the pioneer. He is the pace setter. And we follow his leadership. And how exciting that is. He not only sets the pace, he chooses the path. And one of the ringing truths in all of the Word of God is that God leads and guides today. His ministry is that of guiding the believer. In fact, to me, one of the great verses in all the Word of God is Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I've gone through a time of tremendous personal pressure in seeking God's guidance for my life, and that means five people. It affects my mother-in-law. It affects my future ministry. It affects people in this church that perhaps have a stronger link with me than some of you know because of needs in their life. But to know that God does lead and God does guide, and he guides specifically and pointedly, not sometimes as rapidly as we want it, not sometimes the way that we want, but leadership and the guidance of the Lord is personification of the ministry of the shepherd, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you must be where he can guide, where he can lead you, where he can teach you his path and teach you his way. You see, the Bible indicates that we as sheep are stubborn. We're self-willed. Isaiah 53:6 says, well, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on Jesus the sins of us all. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems okay, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart can be twisted and torn, can be pushed out of measure, and we can receive the wrong guidance. We can be led the wrong way. This is the work of Satan, is to lead you down the wrong path, to cause you to make the wrong decision. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit using his word and the counsel of believers and prayer and waiting on God to bring you into conformity to his will and reveal it to you clearly and distinctly. Dawson Trotman, who spent so many years serving as a member of at least 12 or 14 different mission organizations and boards, including the Billy Graham team, Campus Crusade, and every Wycliffe Bible Translators, every major well-known religious organization, Trotman was on their board of directors. They asked him to be on it. He was a man of intense and marvelous discernment. I asked him one day, driving in a car, going to speak at a conference, how in the world he could make decisions that affected where someone would spend their life, where someone might even be killed, and he would make a decision that would affect a family leaving their home and relatives and loved ones and going into missionary service across the world, or a family changing to another city. How could he take that pressure? What were his guidelines? He said it's very simple. Of course, a lot of things seem to be very simple to Dawson that are hard for other people, and that was a part of the tremendous power of God's grace in his life. But Dawson said, first, I get all the facts. Get all the facts. A lot of people are making decisions ignorant of the total facts. Get all the facts. Secondly, I seek counsel from every source that can give me wisdom to make the decision. And then third, I ask God for the wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He said, fourth, I make the decision and I do it with all my heart and I never look back. He said, God always blesses wholeheartedness. You can't be wrong if you're doing it for the Lord's glory with all of your heart. The Lord will make it right. Even if you've goofed, He'll have to make it right because it's the heart that God looks at. It's the old ticker that God's interested in. And doing it with all your heart for Him, He said, is one of the great keys. The shepherd leads his flock only where he's gone. There's not an agony in your life. There's not a decision. There's not a pressure that the Lord Jesus has not already been there, and He knoweth your frame. He remembereth that you are dust. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knows. He cares. And He's already been there. Already been there. Next, not only does He lead the flock only where He's gone, He leads the flock in righteous paths. He leadeth me in paths, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Righteous paths. Listen, where the Lord Jesus leads you, the path is perfect for you, but it's not always easy. I wish I could say where the Lord leads, why, you've got abundant light and you've got all the grass you need and you've got everything just at the moment that you want it. No, you've got all you need, but not all you want. And the Lord sometimes leads His flock over a path that is difficult, that is dangerous. But if you follow Him, it will never result in harm to you. It will never result in anything but blessing and glory to His name. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, if any flock will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And that's not easy. I see nothing about following the Lord to the cross that is easy. And if you're looking for a Christian life that demands little, costs less, then you don't know Jesus Christ. You're just a church member. For Jesus demands and asks for all of your life, everything, and nothing less than everything. Playing church is not enough. Going to church 3 or 4 hours a week is not what He died and rose again that you might do. He didn't give His life so that you might make it to church 3 or 4 hours a week. That would have been a stupendous, idiotic thing for a holy, loving God to do. He died that He might be Lord of your life 7 days a week, moment by moment. And in as Lord, the lover of your life, the one who cares, the one who knows, the one who can lift and touch and minister to you in a way that you never dreamed possible, that no one else can do. You see, no one has the hands that the shepherd has for the sheep. No one has the tenderness. No one knows them like He knows them. No one can handle them like He can handle them. There is a unique and marvelous bond of the shepherd with the sheep. And you are His, and He knows you. And He leads us in righteous paths. Paths is not always easy. That word paths is a very fascinating and interesting word. I can't take you to all of them. There's just not enough time. But a word study on the word paths might be one of great interest to those of you who are doing word studies. I would refer you to a few references you might want to jot down. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, the psalmist said. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's His promise. He'll show you the path. He'll show you the way to go. He'll show you what He wants you to do. Isn't that wonderful to know? Notice Psalm 17:4 and 5. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. By the word of God, I have been kept from going on the wrong paths. By the word of His lips, I've been kept from the wrong paths. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 10, say this, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. All the paths of the Lord, all the paths of the shepherd, are mercy and truth unto such as keep His commandment and His testimonies. And then He goes on to say about walking in truth in verses 12 and 13, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall the shepherd teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. He's interested in the paths. The paths to the pasture. The paths through the pasture. This is his bailiwick. This is where he's an expert. This is where he knows how to lead. Will you follow him? Will you follow him? Where the shepherd leads is always pure, always righteous. He's never off track. Just for those who like to know the difference in the Hebrew word, this word in Psalm 23 is the word for the path of a wagon. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now that's a pretty broad path, isn't it? That means the psalmist is saying he's leading me in a way that it's impossible really to get out of at this stage. It's broad enough. I don't have to fall over the brink. I don't have to worry about the precipice. I don't have to worry about something, some predator. The path is broad enough to follow, to know absolutely where the shepherd wants to lead. There are other words that indicate different kinds of paths, however, in the study. Where the shepherd leads, however, is always pure and it always moves you to righteousness. Those of you who have children are aware of this syndrome. The child picks the parent that he feels he can get a yes from to ask them to do something that he knows one parent might say no to. And sometimes we as parents don't know that they've already asked one parent and they've been told no, so they go to the other one and phrase it a little differently to get a yes. And we say, that's childish and that's the way children are. Yes, and that's the way children are. But adults are the same way. There are people in this church that won't counsel with me because they don't want to hear what I have to say from God's Word about their lives. You counsel with someone that does not know the book as well. You'll counsel with someone your own age that hadn't had the experience. I'm amazed at teenagers that get counsel from teenagers and then live or die with it. I'm amazed with people who are ignorant about an area getting counsel from someone who is just as ignorant and then using that as the measurement of their walk with God. But this is a syndrome, not just of children, but of adults. We go where we get the counsel that tickles our ears. We go where we get the counsel where we get the yes that we want. Don't you? Some of you do. You won't come to that teacher that knows you better. You won't come to that pastor that probably knows you best. You won't come to that relative that knows you even better than all of them. And you want that yes ground out. You've already made up your mind. You simply want someone to rubber stamp what you've determined in your own heart you're going to do. And I want to ask you, can you be led by the shepherd? Are you available to be led by the shepherd? Or must you simply get confirmation any way you can to soft soap your own heart? This is important because some of you are seeking counsel, but not from people that are spirit-filled and know the book and have counseled others in this field. You better be careful. You better get counsel from people who have walked in a path or know the word in its balance. You can prove almost anything from a verse or two of the Bible. If they don't know a few thousand of them, they cannot give you balanced perspective counsel. It's important. God never leads us to lie. He never leads us to commit adultery. He never leads us to live beneath our privileges as a blood-bought child of His. And don't tell me God's leading you to do these things. He's not, and He never does. He leads you to righteousness, to purity, to holiness. He leads you to godliness. He leads you to the image of Christ. He leads you to purity. He leads you to walk with Him. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't need a super counselor. Take the Ten Commandments. It'll solve 90% of your questions about this or that in your life. Just apply them. Just apply them. Yes, there are many ways to do something, but there's only one right way to do it, and do it that right way. We don't take the path of expediency, we take the path of purity. Now, we might have a blind spot on what is maybe the right path. And people have to live with themselves, and I'm certain some of the people that we see making decisions have been able to rationalize these decisions where they can live with them, or they couldn't stand themselves. But it doesn't make it right simply because they've rationalized themselves to a place of going along on what is against the Word of God. If you know one verse of Scripture, you've got one penetrating light to give revelation to an issue. If you know 50 verses of Scripture in their application, then you have 50 rays of light to give illustration and illumination to a particular problem. If you know 100 verses of Scripture in its application, then you've got 100 rays of light to hit a problem, to reveal it, to help you understand it. This is one of the tremendous needs of Christians, is to get into God's Word daily and to know how to counsel with men and women that know the book. You've heard the expression, God gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. It's true. You can't out-program the shepherd on what's best for you as a sheep. You know, we do it all the time. The shepherd doesn't really understand me. You see, I'm a peculiar, unusual sheep. I have my own peculiar problems. Why, no one's ever had a daddy ram like I had. And so I've got problems, hang-ups from my home, from my daddy. Or no one's ever had brothers and sister lambs like I've had. You see, I've had immense problems. No one's ever had a ewe like I've had one. Oh, my mother, she is for the birds. And you don't realize what happened to my grandfather and how it affected my life. No one's ever had it like... Listen, the shepherd knows all about it. He knows the whole pedigree. You see, sheep are his idea. He made you. He made you. Think of that. The one who is the shepherd is the one who made life. I must not pause too long, but let's look at this word righteousness. Just a few little words that will help us to see. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There is safety in a righteous path. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6:7. The armor of righteousness on the left hand and on the right. And that's the same as Ephesians 6:14. The breastplate of righteousness. That which meets the attack and the dagger of Satan and the fiery darts of the evil one. The breastplate of righteousness. You want to be protected? Righteousness will protect you. Girl, you've got a guy that's trying to push you the wrong way, just start talking about Jesus and see how He cools down. Just start talking about how wonderful and how holy the Lord Jesus. Just mention the cross and talk about following Christ and how your body belongs to Jesus Christ and see what happens. The righteousness, which is the life of Christ, the righteousness which has been given us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Fantastic. He took our sins and gave us His righteousness. And He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Philippians 1:11, Paul prays, O Father, fill that jailer, fill that the chief women there at Philippi, fill them with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus. And in 1 Timothy 6:11, Paul commands Timothy, follow after righteousness. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we're told that the Word of God is profitable for righteousness. In Hebrews 5:13, we're told that the people who have not grown, who've not gotten into the Word, who've not applied the Word, are unskillful in the Word of righteousness for their babies. 50 years of age, spiritual baby. 30 years of age, spiritual baby. 18 years of age, spiritual baby. Or you can have an area of maturity and be 16 or 18 if you know the book and are living the book. 1 Peter 2:24 says that we should live unto righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not, Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 15:34. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Righteousness. And then the psalmist said, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness all the day long. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. The shepherd leads the flock lastly. He leads them correctly and righteously because his reputation is at stake. Jesus' reputation is at stake in this church. His reputation is at stake in my life and in your life. And he's not going to do it wrong. He's not going to goof in what he does. He leads us rightly in John 10. Let's look at the nature. What are the credentials of the shepherd to lead? What are the credentials of the Lord Jesus Christ to lead in your life and mine? Notice these qualities in verse 10. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The world promises life and they deliver a lie. They deliver guilt, dissatisfaction, emptiness, frustration, and fear. Apart from the will of God, there is no one or no thing you are having that will meet your needs out of the will of God, out of the Word of God. Jesus promises abundant, abundant life, wonderful living. Not only that, but the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Did you know he's trying to get that across to us in John chapter 10? It's mentioned in verses 15, it's mentioned in verse 17, and he mentions it twice in verse 18. That the shepherd has a quality of commitment to the sheep. And that quality of commitment means the life of the shepherd is on the line for the sheep. Every time a policeman, a federal agent with the FBI, Treasury Department, goes out carrying a gun to an assignment, technically, their life is on the line. A fireman, the same way. Their life is on the line. And in even a more amazing and marvelous way, because God so loved His Son that He gave Him. He had one Son, and He let Him die for you and me. Jesus' life is on the line for you. Without reservation, He's holding nothing back, and He says, give me your life, I've given you mine. Hold nothing back, I held nothing back. They stripped my robe off of me. They nailed me naked to a Roman cross. They laughed and jeered at me as I hung there. And then I died with my sins on you, and I chose to take them. I gave my life for you. On the cross, God made Jesus sin for us who knew no sin, that we might experience forgiveness, and a new life. He knows you by name, He says in John 10, verses 3 and 14. That's part of His credentials. You're not an X. You're not just a number on a blank full of numbers. He knows you by name. Isn't that wonderful to know? If you are His sheep, He knows you by name. He never loses contact with you. He never ceases to know you and love you and care for you and know your needs. I want to ask, do you know His name? He's the Savior. He's the Shepherd Savior. He's the forgiver of our sins. He's the cleanser. He's the one who died for you. Do you know Him like that? The wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Shepherd, the Door, the Light, the Life, the True Vine. Do you know this one? Is He alive in your heart? He says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart, and I knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. There are people in this congregation that in the last week have said yes to Jesus Christ. They've opened the door of their heart and let Him come in. There are people here that have wanted Him for years. You've heard all about Him. You've had the sermons. You have the religion. You have the church. We're not offering that. This invitation is for Him. Will you take Him? Will you take Him as your shepherd? Will you take Him as your Lord? Will you let Him come into your life now, right where you sit? May we pray. And as you sit there, or as you listen, will you pray, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. Right now, come into my heart. The best I know how, I give You my life. Now lead me. I'm Your flock. I belong to You. Now show me the next step. And Father, lead them that next step to You in Jesus' name. Amen.